All right, I invite you to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, just a couple verses today, verses 24 and 25. I entitled my message today, I Need the Truth, How About You? That's what I've entitled today's message. How's your spiritual barometer this weekend? How are you and the Lord doing? Well, at verse 24, our Lord says, and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. Well, there's a whole message there, isn't there? I suppose there will be a message there. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you beside. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever doesn't have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, for the encouragement that it brings. And I do thank you, Lord, for the smiles that we can have on our faces, that we sing before you, we rejoice before you. Oh, Father, your grace is amazing. And we just thank you, Lord, that you wrap us in arms of love. And how I pray, Lord, that you will take now these words on these pieces of paper in front of me and change it into a message. Father, that we would receive a word from you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So how are you in the Lord these days? I don't think it matters how many years you and I maybe have known the Lord Jesus Christ. I find that's a very practical question. If you could read your spiritual barometer this weekend, what would it indicate? Sunny? Cloudy? Pouring rain? Beloved, I need the truth. How about you? It's one of the reasons why I enjoy coming before the Lord on a Sunday and with God's people anytime, because it's truth that sets us free. Well, in Mark's gospel, we have observed coming up to this point that the crowds have grown exponentially, and with it, opposition has intensified. And the Lord changes how he speaks in his ministry. In the beginning, it was very plain, but now the Lord begins to speak in many parables. You may remember, what are parables? Parables are stories intended to communicate a deeper spiritual meaning. And while the Lord did this, and while all were listening to him tell these stories, the Lord also tells us that not everyone was equally attuned to the stories that he was telling. Why? Well, no different than from today, because not everyone has spiritual ears to hear. There's a little verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I just read it to you, verse 14. It says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. That really means because they come from the Spirit of God. Not everyone, beloved, hears the same way. And so that's why in the beginning of this chapter, Jesus told the parable of the sower, the seed, and the four soils in verses 1 through 20. He explained that, you know, as the seed gets sown, well, some falls along the roadside. The birds quickly come and take it away. And Jesus, by analogy, later tells his disciples, that's a picture of what Satan does when the truth sometimes is presented to people before they even have an opportunity to receive it. The devil and his hordes are right there, ready to take it away. Jesus also, remember, talked about how some seed fell on rocky ground. Other seed fell among the thorns. Well, the world, the things of the world, fleshly desires, oftentimes render the truth unproductive in our hearts. But yet there's this fertile soil, and hopefully that's what we are. I don't know. I think at times, I'm going to be honest about this and just say, I think at times my soil isn't always fertile. I think at times there are weeds in the garden. I think at times there are rocks in the garden. Hopefully, I at least received the word. I'm not like the roadside. But here's the thing. Jesus says, though, if we receive the word, we can become fruitful, and it will multiply an abundant blessing. It's to say that I can hear the best sermon ever preached. I laugh, by the way, when people come to me every once in a while and say, Pastor, that was the best sermon I've ever heard you preach. And then I always think about the opposite. Oh, all the other messages were lousy? you know, that's how the mind works, right? Now, whatever you, by the way, don't be smart with me after church, especially you, Scott, because I can already see Scott saying, I'm going to tell him that was the best message today after. Well, But you know, really, somebody could preach the best message ever preached, but it all depends on whether or not we're willing to receive it, right? It all comes down to that. And so Jesus, as he's talking to his disciples, as he's talking to the crowds, he's talking about this issue of the heart. And he's asking, he's probing at whether their hearts were ready to receive the word. I was thinking about as the Lord was looking at the crowd, and I say this with a bit of hyperbole. I could imagine now there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people following Jesus. And perhaps he might have said to his closest followers, "Wow, do you see the crowd? Do you see how many there are? Maybe you would like to count how many are here today. Oh, I have a mega congregation growing." And then in the midst of saying that, then the Lord turns and says to his disciples, "Oh, by the way, only a very small fraction of them even understand what I'm saying." And so Jesus, in his teaching, is explaining that not everyone is hearing the same way. Not everyone is catching the truth. Yesterday, it was arranged that I would be the speaker at the men's breakfast, and as I was thinking about that, and just before the Lord about it, I just felt led to bring the gospel before I even got here. I just felt there was a move in my spirit, I guess. I just felt that that's what I should do. And you know, it's usually the men in our church who know the Lord that are at the breakfast, but, you know, I think there might have been some there yesterday that may not know the Lord. And so when I had this all in my head, and I just thought to myself, well, perhaps this is just one of those times where God has arranged it. You never know, right? We sow the seed. Sometimes it hits the roadside. Sometimes it falls among the rocks and the thorns. Every once in a while, there's a receptive heart. A friend of mine always talked about how he heard the word for years in the head. But it wasn't until years later that it finally hit him in the heart. And Jesus goes on, doesn't he, in verses 21 through 23, and then gives another story about this little lamp that gets lit. It's all about truth. He's telling us that truth does a couple of things. It exposes what is a lie, and it exposes what is true. What is truth? It exposes those things that are kept, oftentimes people think, in secret. Jesus was telling them, "I've come to preach the truth about God's kingdom, whether you understand it or not. The light is the light. Because the light of truth is what sets people free." Can I just add, by the way, do you know what happens to churches where their pulpits turn their back on biblical exposition? Where when you go on a Sunday, you're not really in the Word of God, but you're kind of out there talking about other things. Well, that's equivalent to turning off the lights and leaving the congregation sitting in darkness. And so this brings us to these two little verses that I read this morning. Curious little verses that I interpret as a warning about truth. If I could put a sign next to it, it would say this: handle with care. I want to read to you from another translation that I think helps a bit with understanding these two verses. It's the English Standard Version. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Now understand, this is all within the context of truth telling. I love how commentaries can help at times with interpretation. I went to one of my favorite commentaries. In fact, when I came into the office, I was thinking to myself, boy, I got to get that commentary out because I really want to see what they say about these two verses. That commentary said absolutely nothing about those two verses. It actually skipped over the two verses and just moved on. But actually, I think there's a point here that Jesus was making if it's within the context of truth. What truth you are able to receive is in turn going to be given to you. And even more will be added by God as you receive it. That is the fertile heart. But to those who aren't receptive to God's truth, the roadside, the rocky, the thorny ground, they can expect to lose what little truth they've actually heard. Now, I'll tell you what I just said here. I have seen that work out in the spiritual lives of people. However, one of my favorite commentators, Dr. Thomas Constable, he didn't disappoint me. He wrote about these two verses. The disciples needed to carefully consider what Jesus was telling them. The degree to which they paid attention to what he said would be the degree to which they would profit from it. It's as if to say, Jesus was saying to his disciples, are you really, really listening? And if you are, you will even be given much, much more. He goes on and says, God would graciously bless attentive disciples with even greater benefit than the effort they expended in heeding his words. Their blessing would be disproportionately large. Is there another way we can illustrate what Jesus is trying to say here? I think so. Benefiting from learning God's word, from hearing from the Lord, it's somewhat like learning a foreign language. If you don't practice it, what will happen? You'll lose it. There's something about truth that we have to continually pour it into our lives. It's amazing how the world, the flesh, and the devil can work against us so quickly that what little we might receive can so quickly begin to fade away. I was reminded of that this morning, thinking of someone that I care about. They were right on the edge about not coming to church. And I thought to myself, you know, that's what the devil does. You know, we give an inch, and then he does what? He takes a yard, or a mile, or shall you say a thousand. James 1:22 says, but prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. That's a person that really drinks in the word, receives it, understands it, and then applies it, puts it into practice. Jesus is trying to say to his disciples, the more you drink in and eat of what I'm teaching you, the greater benefit it's going to have in your life. So take care, pay attention. That's that first word in what Jesus says. Take care, pay attention. Heed what you listen to. Be careful about what you listen to. What's that old phrase? Garbage in, garbage out. You all know I don't have Facebook. I borrow it. But I've noticed an increasing amount of advertising. You know, just, it used to be back way when, it used to be you could read what people were writing. You know, it was like a flow of conversation. Now there's so much stuff, you know, it's like I just find myself doing this with my little mouse and just scrolling down through the page, you know? Because a lot of it is garbage. It's junk mail. Oh, my word. I just realized that. You know, we've been having junk mail in our mailboxes for years, and we get it in our inboxes on the internet, and now we're getting imploded by it. Facebook's doing it too as well. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that. But here's what I think the key point of what Jesus is saying is this. The more truth I pour into my life, the more God is going to pour into my life. But keep in mind, the opposite principle is also true. If I resist God's word, then I should expect it not to have too much of an impact on my life. Why do Christians stagnate? Why do we at times stop growing spiritually? Well, I think it all depends on where we are with God and where we are with his word and where we are with truth. You know, this isn't a hobby horse or a pet peeve, maybe it is in a way, but it's something that I'm passionate about. And that is, over the years, every once in a while, I'll get around a group of Christians and I'll hear people talk in such a way that it sounds like they're downplaying the need for biblical knowledge. Well, right away, the first thing they'll say is, you know, everybody in the church has fat heads. Everybody just seems to know stuff, and nobody ever applies it. And I always think to myself, I don't really agree with you. I think the reason is that we need to be filled with God's word. God's word is good for us. Try walking in the darkness and going somewhere where you've never been before, and you'll trip, right? Unless you have the lamp of God's word to guide you. The word of God's practical. We had fun with it on Wednesday night recently. We went to Proverbs 26:11 that says, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. We were talking about the deer panting by the water, and that's a beautiful scene, isn't it? Kind of a nasty scene, thinking about your dog, and I got one. Bent over in the backyard, licking up what he just exited. That's horrible, isn't it? What kind of image is that? That's like sticking your head in your trash can in your kitchen after raw meat's been sitting in there. It's awful, right? Well, you think about these scenes. Let's make it worse. It's remembering being bent over the toilet. But it's practical because the word of God is saying. But that's what sin does to us. Right? It gets us like right where we are. Or another verse, 2 Peter 2:22 adds, a sow after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. When we read verses like this, we can thank God. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank Father, you know what? Thank you for reminding me that passing pleasure of sin, that is beginning to start to look pleasurable again. Thank you, God, for reminding me that on the other side of the pleasure is the toilet, is the mire, is the vomit. I was mentioning this to someone. Have you ever noticed that when we sin to engage in the pleasure, how the misery that follows afterwards is always much longer and much greater? Had a guy say to me yesterday, he struggles with a chemical addiction, and he said this to me. He said, you know, the first high I ever got was the highest high I've ever had. And he said, ever since then, all I've ever tried to do is to chase what I felt the first time. I was really appreciative of him sharing that with me. Trust me, when we're struggling with sin, when we're struggling with things like addiction, the word of God is practical. I think once in a while it's good to ask some very practical questions. And Jesus telling his disciples, are you listening? Are you pouring the truth into your life? If you do, you'll receive even more. What are your daily habits? What are your weekly habits? How do you pour the word of God into your own life? Do you ever tune in to Christian radio? Not just because Nancy's here from WYRS, but do you ever do that? Do you have a favorite preacher or preachers? Do you listen or watch someone on television? Do you go on the internet? I do. What are we pouring into our minds? Jesus says, pay attention, verse 24, to what you listen to. I believe for some of us today, that little phrase, pay attention to what you listen to, may be the word for some of us here today. What messages am I allowing to come into my mind? I think to myself, you know, the Bible tells us, Romans 12:2, that when we pour the word of God into our minds, what does it do? It renews our minds and teaches us what God's will is. And you know what? That's what we all need. I know people who suffer from a poor self-image. I'm not trying to be psychological about this. I'm just saying I know people who feel badly about themselves, if I could just state it that way. And they need to hear the word of God that raises them up, sets their feet on higher ground, and says, why, for you are to know that in God's sight, because you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are important to God. You are special. Even if you don't feel special, God sees you as special. God calls you his child. Those are good things. And some of us need it. And Jesus says, you want the truth measured out to you, then pursue the truth, because God's liable to give you even more. What happens to a newborn baby if he or she is slow to breastfeed or to drink from a bottle? What happens to a baby? Well, our first baby in our house decided to be difficult in that category. And he landed himself back in the hospital. Because, and not just to try to be funny about this, but he was like shriveling up. He literally is skinny. He looked like he was going like turning into a raisin or a prune. It was awful. And of course, being your first baby, you're in total crisis, right? There's that little one and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. What happens to us spiritually if we're not drinking in the truth of God every day? We can so quickly become just like that child. You know, here's what I know, that the devil wants to spiritually paralyze all of us. The devil wants us stuck. The devil wants us to believe that the hole that we have been digging for ourselves is too deep for us to ever get out of it. And you know, that can happen so quickly, can't it? So quickly, we can drift and fall away from the Lord. And so, we need the Word. We need to be fed by the Word. I want you to see this principle in practice in the New Testament. Could you just look at a few scriptures with me? The first is in Ephesians chapter 1. And I say this as a response to people who say we don't need more Bible knowledge. I want to respond to that because I've heard that. And I'm on the opposite end of it. I think we desperately need it because of what it will do in our lives if we receive it. Ephesians 1, I'm going to pick up at verse 16. This is a prayer. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you what? A spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the what? Knowledge of him. So that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Truth comes to us through knowledge and gives us wisdom. I want you to turn over to another book, Colossians, just a couple more books over, Colossians chapter 1. And hear once again what the Apostle Paul says to believers. Colossians chapter 1, picking up at verse 9. Again, it's a prayer. For this reason also, verse 9, Colossians 1, 9, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, just like Jesus talking about hearing, right? We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that God will give you a bigger house, that God will give you a better car. No, what was on the priority list that Paul prayed for? That you may be filled with the what? Knowledge. Knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. How can you ever receive that if you're not dedicated to learning God's word? You see, God's inviting us to pour the word of God like a flood into our souls. And he's telling us that as that goes in, I'm going to give you even more if you'll receive it. And I will promise you that what will come out of the other end of it will be blessing. That's what Jesus is telling his disciples. You drink in the teaching that I'm giving you, and you will become abundantly blessed. Blessed for one thing, with wisdom. Wisdom is so practical because wisdom is what we need when we're making many of our life decisions. One more passage, 2 Peter chapter 3, just one more. If you would turn over to 2 Peter 3. Point being this, is a consistent theme and message of God's holy word. That the word of God as I pour it into my life is going to have a great effect. 2 Peter chapter 3, picking up a verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, in other words, don't go in the wrong direction, you fall from your own steadfastness. Don't go that way, but grow in the grace and what? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. I'm going to say this because I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. Never discount what the Word of God can do in your life. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that you've learned enough. You've arrived. I'm amazed at how much I forget. I need to constantly be pouring it back in. Because I know that as we pour the Word of God into our lives, there is a blessing that comes with it. You just believe that. Father, just pour into my life the truth of your word, because this isn't enough for me. I want this much. Dear Lord, thank you that Jesus, even in his parables, was speaking plainly. He was inviting his disciples to drink in all the truth that they could drink, and that they would receive even more. And I pray, Lord, that all of us here today would be encouraged to get into our Bibles, to sit before the Psalms, for some who need to be comforted or encouraged, to sit before the Proverbs and to read wisdom from a man who was said that he was given more wisdom than anyone else in the world. Imagine that. Or Father, to even go into the book of Revelation and its last chapters where it talks about no more tears and no more sorrows. When it talks about in the Bible, Father, how someday you tell us that we won't even need the sun in the sky, because your light, your own light, will be the radiance of your glory, will be more than enough light that we'll ever need. These things encourage us and challenge, yes, at times chastise, but always to bring us back to grace. For I think of that scripture that says, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. But thanks be to God. Though I struggle, but thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Encourage us, Lord, again, if we have been slothful in our study of your word. And instead, Father, just bring that spirit of revival back to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.